There is something about coming boldly to the throne room of God. That means you mean business. If you go to Walmart, you don't go in there broke. You go in there with what you can afford. You get what you need. You pay for it. And you're bold about it because you earn the money to pay for the goods. Now, Jesus already paid the price for us. We already know that our currency is good. Let's go out and take back what the enemy has stole from us. I'm telling you right now, what you have within you is more than enough to pay for the things that you desire in your heart. You just have to believe with the confidence, just like you do in your money, that what you have is enough to go forth and get what you desire. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Ephesians in the 3rd chapter. We will begin reading from the 8th verse through to the end of the chapter. Aren't you glad that you've been here? Let me share this peculiar thought with you. I know that sometimes it's not in a tradition that worship may linger as long as we go, but it's good. And it makes me think, you know, there's something too about being in a worship that goes continually like that. And I'm reminded of a place that we'll go to one day where worshiping in His presence will be all that we do. So why would we get picky about if we go past the 3 to 5 song 30 minute limit that people have set the standard on that praise and worship should be? I'm here to tell you that the more that we worship, the closer that we even know what it will feel like to be in heaven and rejoice together. You know, the great thing about that is that the badness that you feel in your spirit, the weakness that you feel sometimes, you won't feel that when you worship in heaven one day. The sorrow that you feel in your heart, the pains and aches of the body, you won't feel that when you get up into glory. There'll be an everlasting worship. There'll be an everlasting praise. There'll never be a song that'll run out. It'll be forevermore before the throne. Verse 8, read it with me. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. We're going to go back there in a minute. Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Let's rewind back in the middle of the verse. That it might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. There's something to be known in this place. There's something for you to understand. Yes, you, and yes, you. Everybody in here, there's something for you to learn, something for you to understand. Let's read on. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have, say that with me, boldness, and say that with me, access with what? Confidence by the faith of Him. I've not been saying the things I've been saying because it has anything to do with me or my knowledge. These are things that are in the Bible, that are in His Word, and are for us to learn how to do and to use them. Wherefore, verse 13, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you. Wait a second. Hold the phone. Hold up. Time out. Tribulations that are what? For us. Tribulations that are what? For us. There is something about that. We're going to get into the mystery of this in a second. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God in this place. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your what? Glory. Which is your what? Glory. One more time. Which is your what? Glory. It is what you will reap on this earth that will give you strength. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's coming humbly. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That means He knows everyone on heaven and earth. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be, say it with me, strengthened with might by His what? By His Spirit in the where? Inner man. That Christ may dwell in your what? Your hearts by what? Faith. Are we learning something in here tonight? That ye being rooted and grounded in the most important thing. What is it? Love. The same love that Jesus Christ had when he laid down his life for us. The same love that led the children of Israel out of their bondage. The same love that spoke to the prophets of old and kept them safe when they obeyed God in difficult times. The same love that was with the disciples. The same love that has been through the churches all through the years. The same love that protects the ministry today. The same love that's with you every single hour that you exist. It's with you and it's for you. Don't think that nobody loves you. There is love from God right here tonight that is for you. Glory to God. Verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth what? Knowledge. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. We're going to hit that in a moment too. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. This is a powerful scripture. My Bible tells me that it is a exhortation to unity. These are the basic building blocks that if you don't know it as a Christian, you need to know. That if you don't understand these things, you need to begin to. Because what we're reading about right here defines you as a Christian. It's not just saying that you believe in Jesus Christ that makes you a Christian. That makes you a believer. But to say that you are a Christian means that you possess the values of a Christian. That means that what lives in your heart every day says that you're a Christian. What you do by your actions, the things you do when nobody sees, those are the things that defines you as a Christian. You might think you're safe in going to heaven just because you believe, but there has to be something in here that tells you that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. It has to be more than saying you believe something. I believe that when I stand upon this stage, that it shall hold me. But until I get on the stage and jump on it and believe that it's going to hold me, the belief only takes me so far. There is something we must know if we know Jesus Christ that will keep us through all things. Let us unfold the mystery that we're reading about right now. You see, as a premise, I want to tell you that the things you're going through right now, although you might not agree, the things you face right now are meant to be in your path. That's a tough one to swallow. That's a tough one to say amen to. The things you go through right now, whether mental, whether physical, whether spiritual, you are going through for a purpose. It is for you. Therein lies the mystery. How can something be for me if it works for my detriment, but yet is done out of love? Let's begin by comparing this mystery to the mystery of being a parent. Now you love your children, do anything in the world for them. But there comes a point when nourishment, love and care, and affection will not work for the problems that are at hand. And there are some things that as a parent, you must lead your child in that they can be instructed to understand boundaries, consequence, and that not everything comes easy, that dollar bills don't grow on trees, that you don't just get respect, you earn it. There are some things that you have to teach your children, because if they went forth without this knowledge, they would not be prepared to face the world. We're running into a lot of the up-and-coming generation today that are in a place where they say they believe, but they don't know anything about being a Christian. And it is our duty as adults and people with the knowledge of Christ to instruct those that do not know that they will know when they have went astray. If you never know that you go astray, you'll never change anything that you do. If you never feel like you do anything wrong, you'll never change the way that you do things. And I'm here to tell you that there is something that teaches us about doing the right thing. I began a long time ago to understand what that was. There was a still small voice that as I began to know Jesus Christ that began to speak to me and show me that, Jared, though you were an addict, And though you did the drugs, and though you smoked, and though you did the things that you did, I'm teaching you that there is a better way to live, that you can lay these things down, that you can be free from the things you're facing, and most importantly, that those that come in contact with you will see that you are believing because you're putting it into action. The things you face today are for you. Yes, I'm going there. I have to. There's no other way that we're going to get through things until we own up to the fact that it's here, it's in front of me, I've got to face this, and it's time that I do something about it. That's why God is bringing this word in this place tonight. I don't know whether you are saved or lost, whether you know Jesus or not. I don't know if you've been filled with the fullness of His Spirit yet. You might not be there yet, but I'm here to tell you that no matter where you are in life, you're going through something. It might not be too much right now. It may be greater ahead. It may be something small in the moment. It may grow to something exponential and beyond your control. So how, whether you're here or there in the trial, are you able to get through it with victory? The mystery of understanding your trial is to understand the solution of how you make it. We possess a spirit. Somebody say a spirit. You have a spirit within you. You might not be working him out. He might look pretty skinny. Might not be exercising your spiritual gifts. I don't know about you, but if you ever decide to make up your mind, I'm going to get back to the gym and I'm going to work out. And you get on the treadmill, crank it up to 7 or 8, try to run for 4 to 5 minutes, you fall off the treadmill, it's on YouTube before you know it, and everybody's laughing at you. That's the same way we try to tackle things on our own without God. We just try to do the most quick thing that we can do the thing we know best to do, say the things we know to do, just to try to get through it, just to push through it somehow. But we possess a spirit that is rooted and grounded with God's love. If you don't know that you're loved, you don't care about your purpose. Number one cause of suicide is people feeling like they're not loved. Satan goes after the very root of what gives you purpose. He goes after your love. If you find yourself irritable, constantly angry, always bitter, always questioning, living in doubt, I'm here to tell you by the authority of God, it's due to a lack of love. Now, this isn't something that is hereditary. It's not something that's in your DNA to always be that way. But I'm here to tell you that if you will learn how to use what God has put in you, then you'll begin to grow with a greater love. Can somebody say amen? The love that I possess today is greater than the love I used to have because not just understanding the Bible, not in how many times that I prayed, but I have a greater love in my heart because of the things that I've been through. The trials I've been through in my life has made me who I am today. And I'm confident in the God that I serve. I know that every time I've been in difficulty, that He has never failed me. He has never let me down. And I've never been without a friend. And every time that I felt low, something deep down in my heart, beyond the friends, beyond what you will try to do for yourself, begins to spring up out of you and be alive to you. I want to tell you that the rivers that flow is God's love. And mid the love made manifest is the presence of the Holy Ghost. And when you have His love, you'll be able to go about life with confidence. You'll know that God is there. You'll go in boldness and you won't let anybody take your joy because you'll know that He's been there. Try not to get excited. I want you to understand this. Two words, boldness and access. You have an open door to the throne room of God. You know how it works. You get down in a place of humbleness. I'm talking to some people that need to know this. You get down on your knees if you have to. You close your eyes and clear your mind if you've got to. You get past every problem that you're going through, and you come to God sincerely, and you begin to communicate to God the things that are down here that is keeping the love from springing forth. When you read in the Bible, when it says we quench the Spirit, that means that you are blocking the flow of God's love in you. When you do that, you're living in bitterness. You would almost see someone be in destruction and be satisfied than you would to pick them up and help them. That's why it talks about the evidence of the Spirit is what? You loving your brethren. The evidence is not just speaking in tongues. There's a lot of people that speak in tongues that would rather have you in destruction than they would to see you prosper. I've dealt with so much bitterness and drama and people looking at me and judging me and making me feel less of me, and I'm tired of it and I'm over it and I'm ready to move on with my life. I'm here to tell you that I don't need anybody to tell me that God has been proven, and I don't need anybody to persuade me that He saved my soul. I know beyond all doubt that I have His Spirit within me, and I know that the things that I go through, they are for me. You have an open door. In the Old Testament, there was a priest that had to go in on the behalf of the people. He had to enter into the different levels of the temple. There was a place where they would enter into the temple that only the priest would ever see, and go beyond through the curtains and enter in into the glory of God, where incense was always burning continually, full of smoke in this room. And if there had been any sin that was within this priest, they were struck dead in the moment. The priest walked in with a rope tied upon their leg, I believe, or somewhere around here, that, and you would have a bell down at the end of their garments, and you would hear them going in. And if you didn't hear the jingle, you begin to wonder what happened. And if they had any sin in their heart, they had to be pulled out because they were already dead. But now, today, through what Jesus Christ did for us, we walk in what we read, grace. You can open the door and talk to God even if you failed because of grace. And the fact that God forgives you is His mercy. And the act of forgiving you shows God's love for you. There's so many of us that are in different places, and I've just got to take my time through this because I want you to learn from what you're going through and stop just going through it and not learning anything. If you put your hand on the stove when it's scalding hot and you burn your hand and you pull it off and you know better, to go back and do it again only proves that you are, as the world calls it, insane. Repeating the same action, expecting a different outcome. If I didn't come in and give God my praises, come in and just suffer and continue to expect everything to be given to me through the silver spoon and for money just to fall in my lap and for everybody just to like me, I would never see it, because I'm dwelling in a place where God's love is not present. If you can't love those right next to you the way that they deserve, then there is a closer walk you can have with God. If you're fighting all the time and can't ever get to a place of peace, you need to seek God for a greater love. I don't know why I'm on this right now, but I know it's for a reason. If we will learn to get to a greater place of love, you can make further progress in your relationship in a week than you had in the past 10 years. But yet we get discouraged and bitter from what we face. Let's go back and read this verse again. Wherefore, verse 13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. That means that there's a call to action, something from you. How many of us have been to a place where you didn't want to come to church because you were so discouraged, and the only thing that you wanted to do was just lay in your bed? You wanted everybody to go away, didn't want to talk to anyone. People try to encourage you. It's almost like drinking sour milk. You just spit it right back out. Nothing that you want to do with. How many of you can identify with that? You don't have to raise your hand, but anybody identifying with this tonight? We get to a place of bitterness. We don't want to do anything. Get to a place where we even lose our desire to live. I love to go to the gym, but when I get discouraged, I find myself not feeling like going. And when I get to church, I don't find myself with an eagerness to lift my hands and praise. You've got to recognize that we can't just come in and lay down and expect things to get better. God is calling something out of you. What is it He's speaking to? Well, he's certainly not speaking to the natural person, because we turn God away all the time. And in fact, we do it mostly when we question God. I'm trying with all that's in me to learn not to question the things I'm going through, but to find the strength to endure it. We now know and understand tonight, and I believe we do, that we can't continue to say that I'm going through this because of so-and-so, and I'm going through this because I didn't come up with very much, and that I'm going through this because somebody else is doing it to me. I'm here to tell you that sometimes the greatest growth that you'll ever have comes from tough love. If nobody had ever taught me to not run out in the street when cars are going by, I wouldn't be here. If somebody didn't tell me that you can't say those words when you go to school, that kind of thing is frowned upon, I would have been in trouble all the time. If somebody hadn't told me that drugs were bad, I wouldn't have felt the guilt in my heart when I went to do them. If somebody hadn't provided guidance for me, then I would have been totally unprepared. We're about to unfold another part of this mystery. What you go through today gives you wisdom for what you will face next. Jesus had to go through things in phases before it could have been done. He faced the accusations of the religious, had to run and hide at times from the stones they would throw as he would try to do the works of God. His own hometown rejected him for the works that he was doing because they only saw him as the son of a carpenter. They didn't see the spirit that lied in the inner man of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of people that they look at you and they only see what you're going through. But you want to know what I see? I see a spirit that has potential to get up from the troubles and make something of yourself. I'm not here to tell you that it's okay to lay down and just endure it and say that I'm going to get through it someday. I'm here to tell you that today is the day that you can be saved. Today is the day of salvation. It's time that you save your own life through the lifeboat of Jesus Christ. Pick up the raft and save yourself. Don't live in condemnation. Don't live in bitterness, but start anew, a new life through the love of God. Now, you're not going to hear this everywhere you go because a lot of people are afraid to preach it this way, but I'm going to because, well, I don't have anything to lose. There is a difference in saying God did this to me and God did this for me. To say God did this to you is issuing blame upon something that's going on. But if you understand that he did it for you instead of to you, then you'll begin to understand what trials are really meant to be. We have to go through some things to learn some things. And not everybody goes through the same things. Some of us have been through harder things, impossible things. I've been through so much and so far, but there's others that's been through far more than me. But I'm here to tell you that you go through things for you, that when you are around others that are going through the same thing, that you can offer what you have learned as an encouragement and as a teaching. That which you do and obey God in, the Spirit begins to manifest in it. If you will just show empathy and sympathy to people and begin to be compassionate. Listen, I know that some of you are going through something that's just happened recently. Some of you are going through something that just happened a couple weeks ago. But I'm here to tell you that everybody's going to forget about how bad it hurts you. And it's going to be yesterday's news here in a few weeks. And you're just going to be by yourself and wondering where is all the help that everybody was there the first week. But I'm here to tell you, I'm talking about a God that'll be there with you through everything when everybody else has thrown you away. I'm talking about a God that will love you in spite of your faults and give you the strength that you need. The word that we read, it is to strengthen you. You can't do anything if you're weak. If you've got the flu, you're not going to go to work and do hard labor. You can't do things when you're weak. And if we live in a constant state of weakness, and if you'll believe this, there is a disease that is in reference to this, people that always looking for something that's wrong with them. What is that called? Hypochondriac? People that are always thinking something's wrong. If it's not this, it's that. And if it's not that, it's this. And if it's not this, it's those things. And if it's not those things, it's these things. And if it's not these things, it's all these other things that I saw. And we'll miss out on so much praise that we could give God because we're looking for this, looking for that, blaming this, blaming that, trying to figure out what's wrong with me, trying to figure out why I can't feel what everybody else is feeling. Listen, you have the same access as people that are jumping up and down. And you have the same ability to praise just like somebody that shouts the house down. And you have the same ability to cry tears of joy just like anybody else that does it. But let me tell you, you don't get to that place to do it unless you've been through enough in your life to where it means something. Don't get in here and cry tears of pity. But if you go through something and God brings you through it, honey, give him the praise. Give him the glory that you within you can be glorified of him. If you don't give God his praise, somebody else is not getting blessed. That's another thing we have to learn. We're not praising God for us. We are praising God that others may see God in us. Of course, nobody wants to come in and get up off the seat, get their hands in the air, and start beginning to worship with everything that they're facing. And I bet you if we went person to person in here, we'd be amazed at what people are hiding from each other, of what they're going through. But this I can tell you, that the spirit that we're talking about that's in you is ready to come forth. When we're not willing to let go and know that this is for us, we're quenching the spirit of God. You can quench it even when God is convicting you to pray. The best quencher I've ever found is justification. Well, I'm all right. God will be there to take care of me. Just cut it right off. But eventually, if you hold a volume of some kind of substance in a container for a long time and you fill it up to a point that the container can no longer hold it, you will burst. And we're not talking about overflow. I'm talking about breakdowns and meltdowns and fits and tantrums. Listen, you can be 30 and throw a tantrum just like a three-year-old. Let's not go there. We know that it's true. Let's leave it at that. Some of the most foolish moments in our life, we looked like we were five because we didn't learn anything from the things we've already faced. I know today, I know better than to smoke pot. Why? Not just because somebody told me that it's bad, that I felt what it did to me. Why do we continue, church? I'm getting personal with you right now. Why do we continue to let the enemy beat us up to the point we can't even think straight? Why do we continue to linger in a place of